This is the L3 Leadership Podcast, episode number 129. What's up, everybody, and welcome to episode number 129 of the L3 Leadership Podcast. My name is Doug Smith, and I'm the founder of L3 Leadership. We're a leadership development company based out of Pittsburgh, devoted to helping you become the best leader that you can be. In this episode, you're going to get to hear a question and answer session we had with my friend TJ Christensen. He is the Executive Vice President of Sales and Marketing at Accesso, and he also gave a talk at this breakfast that we hosted, and his talk was called Becoming the Obvious Choice, and it was absolutely excellent, and I encourage you to listen to it in episode number 128 of the L3 Leadership Podcast. I've known TJ for 4 or 5 years. He's been a part of L3 Leadership and just a phenomenal leader. I'm consistently impressed with his leadership, his wisdom, and just him as a person. And I know you're going to love this Q&A and his talk as well. And I hope that you enjoy it. But before we jump in, I just want to thank our sponsors, Babb Inc. They're our insurance broker, a third-party administrator and consulting firm in Pennsylvania and all across the country. They have a huge passion for developing next-generation leaders, which is why they host our monthly leadership breakfasts. And they are a great company. So if your company has any insurance needs, check them out at babbins.com. That's babbins.com. And you can check out all the great work that they're doing. With that being said, let's just jump right into the Q&A with TJ, and I'll be back at the end with a few announcements.
Yeah, so question for you on the last point, investing in yourself and talking about mastermind groups and that kind of thing. So could you elaborate a little bit on what, I guess, what format or what structure you've done that in, maybe what organizations that you've feel are useful for that? Because there's, in my experience, a big difference between trying to say, okay, I'm going to organize something myself, and then let's all do this, and then create an agenda and have it work, versus tapping into some other existing structure, and especially with higher level people, trying to find people that are at a higher level than you are, so you can actually benefit instead of say, okay,
yeah,
I'm going to be able to attract people lower than I am and kind of lead the thing, yet you're still wanting to try to grow.
Yeah. So I think there's a couple things. And for me personally, I sort of have an informal mastermind group that are colleagues that I work with that are different leaders in the organization that I reach out to for different things. And I wouldn't call that like a formal mastermind. That's just more of having a partner in business. But the simple answer to the other part, the second part of your question is really L3. So for me, that accomplishes all those things. So I've been a part of the Northside Mastermind Group for a little over a year, and I was in the other original Mastermind Group ahead of that.
Explain to everybody what a Mastermind group does.
Okay.
The purpose of it.
So the purpose and structure of a Mastermind group. Yeah. So
people kind of have context.
Perfect. Thanks, Larry. So if you the Mastermind group as a member of L3, you can join a Mastermind group, and they're starting to pop up all over the region, right? The one I happen to be a participant of takes place on the north side. And what we do is we get together every other week, and there's 5, 6, 7 of us, 8 of us. 8 of us that get together every other week, and Doug will have a book or something that we're all reading through together, and there are questions that we're challenging with. We start the year every year doing goals. So what 10 things are you going to do this year? What are your top 10 goals? And then you're on the hot seat probably every month or every other month to report out to the group that, like, hey, here's how I'm doing on my goals. Man, I could really use some help being held accountable to this, that, or the other thing. And you have a group of men and women that can pour into you and help hold you accountable and help drive you. So that's sort of the mastermind group where, to your point, you're like, hey, I could do one, but then I feel like I'm always leading it and I'm not necessarily getting what I need. Maybe from a peer-to-peer place, the mastermind group is peer to, I mean, you're all peers. So you're able to get that feedback and sort of get like a 360 view on what sort of challenges you're having or what you need help with. And I've learned, and you also learn from just pouring into other people. Like sometimes I'll find myself on my drive back from the mastermind group, like I'll just have had a conversation with someone about someone, and I got to look myself in the mirror. I'm like, TJ, you do the same thing, man. Like, you know, you give great advice, but you got to live the advice. And so there's that. And then as far as, you know, sort of, you made the comment of like, can I get access to people or how do I get, how do I get mentors, right? Doug wrote a great ebook on how to get mentors. I'd suggest you download that off the website. And then also these breakfasts, the leadership access at these breakfasts is amazing. That's what blew me away. The first breakfast that I went to, I'm like, I cannot believe, and I can't remember, I've Swiss cheese memory. I can't remember exactly who it was, but I just remember being blown away. It was like one of the heads of UPMC was in a room, and it was one of the first breakfasts. So there were like eight people in the room. I'm like, I can't believe we have this type of access to a leader like that in the community. Like, that is amazing to me. And you know, he was more than willing to have breakfast or lunch or email back and forth with someone, but it's up to you to take the initiative, right? I've done that with some folks that have given talks. I've reached out to them afterwards and said, hey, you know, I'd love to take you to coffee and just ask you a couple questions about a specific topic or something like that. And, you know, you start to just foster a relationship, and then you have someone that's sort of maybe lived your path a little bit further than you've lived, being able to look back and pour into you. And you've got the mastermind groups to sort of get a current view across peer-to-peer set of how you're working. So to answer your question, getting involved here in a mastermind group is going to be immensely valuable. It's going to give you a lot of those things that I think you're looking for. So, yep.
So, thanks. This is gold. Great stuff. In your career, and now you have a team working with you and these principles, have you had the challenge of, I've put these out there for my team, or maybe you've seen other leaders do this in your organization, and they're just not getting it. I just can't get this across to them. How do you deal with that situation where you know that's in that person and you're trying to get it out of them?
Yeah.
You just can't seem to get past them wanting to do this.
Yeah, so complete transparency. This is the first time I put these five together, is preparing for this. And over the last sort of like month and a half, I've really tried to think about what defines the rock stars in organizations that I've seen. You know, whether they're people on my team, whether they're counterparts, whether they're people that just in ancillary departments in the organizations that I've worked in, what are sort of the themes? So to be fair, I haven't had this talk with my team of like, hey, here's you want to be a rock star, here's rock star behavior. I will be having that talk with my team. But you know, I think to your question, your question is really, you know, it's great to have that list, but what happens if someone's not hitting one of those things? And the reality of the world that we live in today is not everyone is a rock star. And that's okay. But you can be great where you're at and all of those things. But if you're struggling with one of these things, that's sort of as a coach or as a leader, that's your blueprint to pour into them on those things. If you have someone that is being a duck, you've got to help them identify those in the moment. You've got to, you know, if you see someone being a duck, you got to pull them aside and say, hey, look, you know, here's the thing. You're sort of complaining about this sort of stuff, but you brought this problem, but you need to bring the challenge with possible solutions. Just don't let it be one-sided because, you know, Craig Groeschel has a great podcast and he talks about, you know, folks that'll taking initiative and sort of, it's his podcast about leading up. And, you know, as leading up, you're coming with challenges and what you think you can do to solve them versus just a problem. Cause what you've done at that point is you just put more on your leader's work, on their plate. And you know, you've got to have people, don't be a victim, right? So, okay. So you're experiencing this pain in the workplace. How would you solve it? Well, I don't know. Well, okay. Well, how about this? How about we set a meeting a week from now? You go think about this and then come back and we'll talk about how you solve that. That's a great opportunity for them to develop and think at a higher level as a leader of how they would solve that within the organization versus sort of solving it for them. And sometimes it's easier to solve it for them because you can do it faster, but you miss the opportunity to develop the person. That's our challenge, right? So there's that, and that's just eagle or duck, but communicate effectively. That is in the moment, that is instantaneous. So if you see, I've done this numerous times where someone will send an email that I get copied on and I'm like, oh no. And I immediately pick up the phone and I'm like, or what I'll do is I will rewrite the email and send that to them and say, hey, you're probably not going to get the response you're going to like. Here's how I would have phrased it. And I'll rewrite it. And 10 out of 10 times, the next time they do it, they've taken that advice to heart. Or sometimes they'll rewrite the email and say, hey, I might have actually sent that a little too quick. Here's actually what I meant to say. And magically, you know, whatever they were communicating there's a lot less friction, right? And that's with people in the organization, outside the organization. So those are all just coaching moments. So you got to catch them if you know someone has a hot spot for one of those things, you just got to have an eye out for it, and you got to catch it in the moment and coach them up on it and have a plan. Like, hey, you know, if you work in an office environment, here's a sticky note with the three things that I want you to think about every day as you're going through. Tone, 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 you know, eagle, 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 or whatever they may be.
Thanks.
TJ, going back to the thing on particular email, and just a lot of people use that for a lot of things. In your experience, what are the limitations of email communication? When should it not be used?
So when should you use email and when should you not? I run a sales organization, and it drives me nuts when you're like, hey, could you follow up with this client about something or this prospect with something? And then you follow up later, you're like, hey, did you follow up with them? They're like, yeah, I sent them an email. You're like, come on. In the world that we live in today, and specifically the world that I live in, so I have 30 people in my organization. We're all remote. No one's in an office. Actually, one person's in an office. We don't have the opportunity to engage in a group setting often, or we face-to-face via Skype, but there is a ton of email that goes on. So you've got to pick up the phone. You've got to build that relationship. So, and I talk a lot about relationship equity, and the answer to your question really lies in how much relationship equity do you have with that person that you're sending the email to, and how sensitive is that? If you've got a lot of relationship equity, guess what? You could probably just shoot something over. They know you well enough that they're not going to misinterpret that tone. If you're in the early stages of developing that relationship, you better be high touch through and through. And especially if you have something sensitive that you want to talk to someone about that could be, you sit there and you try to write the email, this should be your default. If you try to write an email and you're struggling with the tone, pick up the phone and call the person. And then follow up with a written email, because then it can be quick. It's like, hey, I know, thanks for the time 30 minutes ago. Just here's a quick recap of the things that, you know, to-dos. Boom. They have the context of the tone, and you're able to read their inflection in their voice or face-to-face, read their body language, and adjust much easier than you are if you just, like, shoot something over. So personal communication is becoming a lost art, and you've got to invest in building relationship equity with people so you can move faster. Because if you don't do it on the front side, it's going to burn you.
DJ, thank you so much. This has been wonderful. So dealing with number four, learning to work hard, how do you model that or equip your leaders? I had the privilege of having my father who made me get up and throw papers, mm-hmm. you know, and you see that model or working a, you know, grocery store where you had to get the back, you know, budget. I'm going old school. But how would you do that? How would you coach someone to say, hey, let me help you work hard? Because you see the potential of them being an equal.
Yes. Yeah. So just to share a little bit about my journey. So there was a point in my career where I was sort of struggling at getting everything done. And I went into my leader's office and sat down, and I'm like, you know, I'm like, hey, I'm really struggling with like getting all this work done. And he stone cold looked me in the face and said, work harder. And then he said, TJ, you roll in at like 9:15 and you're out at 5 o'clock. Work harder. You're not giving it 100% of your effort. And if you're, and if you've got, at that time I was sort of trying to, I was trying to do something that was kind of project based. He's like, if you've got to stay late a couple nights to get the project done, get the project done. Like, if you can't fit it in with all your, you just got that, or where are you burning? And then we had a whole conversation about where are you burning time? Are you taking long, can you, within your day, can you cut your lunches back to being like 30 minutes instead of an hour? Can you go to lunch closer versus driving somewhere to save yourself time so that you can spend more, the hours that you're here are more productive. And over the years, I've really learned to work smarter and harder. And one of the ways that, so I think they're sort of tied together, right? One is you can just work harder, like be smart about how you're spending your time, but also think about why you're on the payroll, right? And at times you've got to be pretty strict on what you choose to work on and not work on. And, you know, whether you abide by eat that frog or something like that, you know, you are on the payroll for a specific reason. And if you are doing stuff as part of your role that you really enjoy, but really aren't why you're on the payroll, guess what? You got to do that stuff first. So you got to prioritize, and you have to push the other stuff out and say no. If it's ancillary to what your purpose at the organization is for, you got to say no sometimes so you can get your other stuff done. And that will sort of, that'll help you be more efficient. And then as you're becoming more efficient, you're building more capacity to do more. But as far as growing up, or helping others see that, I think it's kind of just digging in with them, kind of like my leader did with me. Aside from the first one is, you know, are you working hard, as hard as you could, and then really sort of understanding, okay, so if you're struggling with something or something like that, or how do I get more done, you've got to really work with them, almost like what's your plan for the day? How do you, when you come in the morning, what's your routine? What are you doing? Like, you know, okay, so, and you've got to give, like, I'll be the first to tell you, you got to take vacations and you've got to take breaks throughout the day and all that stuff. This is not a punch in, put your head down and sweat it out until you're done. Like, that's not the message that I'm trying to deliver, but you can be more efficient and if you start to diagnose all the places where you're losing time throughout the day, that's the first thing I would do, is try and figure out where are the places where you're losing time. Because you can't get it back. So does that kind of answer your question? So, but the other thing is just, you know, sometimes you do have to look people stone cold in the face and just be like, you're not working hard enough. That's a tough message to deliver, especially when someone's, you know, kind of like, hey, I need some help. It's like, all right, I can give you some help, but you gotta pick it up a little bit too.
Hey everyone, thank you so much for listening to our question and answer session with TJ. I hope you enjoyed it. Again, I want to encourage you, if you haven't listened to his talk on becoming the obvious choice, please jump on to episode number 128 of the podcast and you can listen to that there. And if you want to connect with TJ, you can go to the show notes at l3leadership.org/episode129 and find everything else that you need there. If you want to get connected with L3 Leadership and take your leadership development to the next level this year, I'd really encourage you to check out a mastermind group or come to one of our events locally, and you can get more information about both of those on our website at l3leadership.org. You can also sign up for our email list, which you'll be able to stay up to date with everything we're doing, and you'll also get a free copy of my ebook, Making the Most of Mentoring. So I hope that you'll take advantage of that. And as always, if this podcast added value to your life, I would really appreciate if you would subscribe and leave a rating and review. It really does make a difference. And as always, I like to end with a quote, and I love this quote by Dave Ramsey. He said, "Think about who you want to be and what you want to be doing in 10 years from now. Then go make that happen. You are in charge of you." And with the new year, I hope that you'll just spend some time dreaming, thinking about who you want to be and what you want to do, and go make it happen. Thanks for listening to L3 Leadership Podcast. My wife, Laura, and I appreciate you so much, and we will talk to you next episode.